Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom. And we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and PT pearls to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Dr. Dom.
And I'm Doc Jen.
And we're coming at you with a PT pearl on back pain with some specific tidbits on back spasm. So stick around.
Welcome back to another PT Pearl. We are excited today because this is a very popular topic. We're talking about low back pain, specifically when you get spasms in the low back and what that means, why it's happening, and what you can do about it.
So back pain is something that's super popular, and we really want to dive into it because so many people experience it. I've had my own issues with back pain. We've interviewed a lot of like clinicians on our podcast that have had issues with back pain and recurring back pain. So we want to really dive into what it might mean when we have these back spasms. Why is our back doing that? And how can we just start to explore into that a little bit?
Yeah. And especially when we have that experience of back pain and that symptom of like your body going like, oh my God, and it's tightening up really bad in the back and you're getting that spasm response. The first thing that we want to do anytime that we get injured is we want to touch it. We want to grab it. We want to, you know, Or even if I bump into something, right? If I bump my elbow, the first thing I do, grab it.
Or rub it. Yeah. Something like that.
And what that actually does, it is literally a response within our brain that helps to decrease that pain, that initial pain response. So it is great to have that touch and it will help for that moment. But what we want to start to get away from is the need to smash, especially when we have that experience of that initial back pain and that spasm. And all we want to do is like, take a hammer and just rub it out of me or take something and beat it out of me, you know? And we want to explain why that's probably not going to be the most effective for your body, especially in that initial symptom of back spasm, and what you can do and what tools you can use rather than that.
Yeah, everyone wants to reach for the lacrosse ball or the real hard foam roller and just like rub it out. But really, when we're having those back spasms, there's a lot of tension in that muscle already. And it's really on guard and it's really sympathetically driven. We want to hold our ears in, or our shoulders into our ears, hold our breath and tighten up to just bear against it. So something that we initially want to talk about is just that downregulation of the system as a whole, which is then going to help downregulate some of the messages and signals we're sending into those back muscles. So we talk a little bit about downregulation in the breathwork episode. So we're going to touch on some of those principles again. Which brings us around to one of the things we always talk about, which is breathing and how just laying on our back. One, if we're laying down on our back is resting on something, giving some of that touch and that safety and that thing that's going to mechanically gate that process you just kind of explained earlier for our brain to perceive, oh, there's something supporting my back. There's something underneath my back. And then we dive into some breath to support through the core and also send some different signals to the back muscles to downregulate.
Yeah. So when we're talking about downregulation, especially when we're talking about that nervous system, we have two options. Your back is already going into that, what he touched on, which is the sympathetic, that fight, flight, freeze response. Someone scares you. What do? You take a deep inhale and your body comes in tight to you because what it's doing is it's guarding you, especially when your hands come and they kind of come in front of the chest. It's protecting your heart, your organs, the vital part of your body. Your body naturally has that instinct, which is cool. Yeah. And so that's why I like to first say when your body is having that reaction of a spasm, cool. Your body knows how to naturally protect you. And that's where we get to say, thank you, pain, for alerting me. Thank you, body, for coming into that natural reaction of protection. Without this natural reaction of protection, I don't know when something bad could be happening. I don't know when I need to address other things, when I've been neglecting movement, when I am, you know, it's just, there's so many other areas that having this initial response of pain is so good for you. And one of the things that it reminds me of, honestly, my grandma was having extremely bad back pain and really bad back spasms right before she got diagnosed with cancer. And it was that the cancer had already spread to her bones, and it was responding in a muscular sense. And every time she went to PT, it was like, oh, you're old. And it was like, it was painful for me. I was not yet in physical therapy school. She wasn't getting better because it was deeper and her body was trying to talk to her. And so again, thank you, body, for giving me this response. And it was her response to alert her. She went to the hospital at 3 a.m. one night because it was just so incredibly bad that she couldn't stand it anymore. And she's like, I've been through PT, I've been through all these things and it's not helping. Finally got more testing, found out that she had lung cancer. And that's where I say, thank you, body, for giving me this response, for telling me when you're alerting me that something is happening. And so rather than fighting it and going more into that sympathetic, how can I actually have that appreciation, downregulate, talk to the vagus nerve that increases and promotes that relaxation, and get those muscles to turn off?
Yeah. And, you know, I mentioned laying on your back. That's a great way to, you know, make that back feel safe. Some people will be like, oh, it happens at work. I can't get laying on my back. Mm-hmm. Find a wall to kind of lean your back into and do some nice deep breathing up against the wall, because kind of the same, you know, principle with that back resting against the wall, it just gives you something that you can feel safe to, you know, rest into and support your back to downregulate. So then say we get downregulated a little bit, then what do we do to kind of explore, like, oh, why have these spasms been coming on? You know, one thing that we do initially to assess in a clinic is we just get people to move in different directions, you know, into flexion or bending forward and rounding that back forward, or into extension and, you know, kind of arching that back backwards. And that can give us a lot of information on, one, where we tend to hold that back or where our own biases might be. And two, we might get some relief by moving that back into these different positions.
Yeah. And that's where it's like, you don't have to get so technical into, well, what is my diagnosis and what makes it feel better? Like, try it. Round the spine. Fold forward like you're going to touch your toes and come back up. Does it help it? Does it relieve some of that symptom when you bend forward? If it doesn't, try the other way. Try, you can even like come up next to a wall and kind of put your stomach toward a wall, your hands on the wall, and then kind of push away from the wall, like extension or like cobra pose if you're laying on the floor. Mm-hmm. And if that helps to feel better, do that. Or if it increases pain, don't do it. And this is very early on symptom relief, right? So this isn't like, oh, now extension feels better, you're only going to extend your back and arch your back. No, we're not saying that. But we're saying when you find those initial symptoms of what helps to relieve that pain initially, do more of that. Don't do what continues to hurt you.
Yeah. And I mean, personally, I've always been somebody who my bias is to always have my back arched. And that's where I'll start getting those back muscles being like, oh, we're going to spasm in to protect here, because I haven't been supporting it with more engagement in the front of my core. So my back likes to round forward and feels good relief rounding forward. Once I find that relief, then I come in and I do exercises like core-based exercises. I do a lot of different plank variations, a lot of different variations where I'm on my back doing little heel taps just to learn how to re-regulate, re-support with my core muscles so that my back muscles don't feel like they need to do all the work. The core is now there saying, hey, bud, we got you. You don't need to grab on so tight to protect, like that process we were talking about earlier.
Yeah. And so for a lot of people, that's where, you know, oh, I have back pain, do core. And for some people, yes, but not always. It's not always like, oh, I'm lacking stability, I need to gain stability. And remember, when we talk about core again, it's all the way from the pelvic floor to what's happening at the diaphragm as you breathe and what's happening all the way around the back. And that's why, again, when we go into the optimal body, we teach from level one to level four, because it is not just like, oh, do these crunches and do these ab exercises, but it's actually learn how to really use your entire trunk from your shoulder blades all the way down to your pelvic floor so that it can support your back. But the other place that we like to talk about, not only supporting through the core and eventually learning how to do that, but also checking out your neighbors. We like to talk about the neighbors a lot. And so what does that mean?
So the core, or the low back, where we might be having these symptoms, its most immediate neighbors are the upper back or the thoracic spine and the hips. And if we have restriction in the movement in these areas, then our back is going to need to find that movement. So that's where we might be moving too much in the back because we're not moving enough or as efficiently or as well in some of these other areas, which is also something that I've had issues with at my hips. My hips don't like to rotate super well in certain areas. My hips don't like to extend very well. I mean, it's getting a lot better because I've been putting consistent work at it. Same with my upper back. So what are some things, say we find restrictions in our hips and upper back, what are some ways we can maybe find those? And what are some ways that we can address that once we find it?
So that's like the favorite thing, right? Is like, well, what do I do for my back? And what do I... And that's where I say it's always so important to self-assess rather than guess. And if you're not going to self-assess, go get assessed by a professional.
You should put that on a bumper sticker or something.
I know, right? We need shirts that just say self-assess, don't guess. But it's really important to understand your body and start to bring awareness into your body. And that's what we as clinicians, we do for you. We help to bring that assessment to you, that awareness to you, so that then we know how we're guiding you into your body and how you're moving into your body. And that's why in the mobility method, there's a 23 movement screen so that you get to self-assess where your body is moving from head to toe, literally. And then you can say, okay, this is restricted. This is obviously not quote unquote normal as it should be. And here's how I can, here are some of the exercises that I can start adding in. And it's exactly like Dom said, as long as we start consistently adding little things in every single day, that's what's going to make the biggest difference, especially when we're talking about back pain. Because there's no one exercise, there's no one fix. It is what it works for your individual body based on your assessment of your body and based on your own restrictions or weaknesses or inefficiencies in your patterns and in your movement. And when you start to just say, I'm going to do this one in the morning, I'm going to do this one before I work out, I'm going to do this one before I go to bed, and you stick to 1 to 4 little tiny things every single day, it makes a huge difference in the longevity and support of your body in the long run.
Yeah, I mean, we'll work with people in the clinic all the time, and they'll say, no, I tried those exercises, they didn't work.
Yeah.
And this is our second appointment seeing them, or they, you know, we saw them 2 or 3 days ago, and they're like, you know, I tried those, they didn't work. My first question is, how long have you been having this back pain? Mm. Or how long have you been having these symptoms? You know, or you're 50 years old, you've been moving a certain way for 50 years. And we kind of build these biases and these habits in our body. So my message to people is, if you're not willing to commit that 10 minutes to yourself a few times a day, or say that you don't have time, then you're going to need to be okay with the pain, you know, and then you're going to need to be okay with that journey of having pain for the rest of your life. Because if you're not willing to commit to the consistency to change it, okay, you might need to do this every day for 6 months to have any really noticeable, significant change in that pain when you wake up in the morning, like, oh man, that pain's a lot less now. Because you've put in the time and commitment. I mean, honestly, one of my goals right now is to do thoracic spine and upper back mobility every day this month, because I know it's something that I struggle to remain consistent on. And I'm 27. Like, I'm not old. I don't have back pain because I'm old and my body's breaking down or anything. Like, I just need to be able to be conscious about that and put consistent work in on it. And I'm noticing the differences.
Yeah. And so again, if you start from the basics, so again, you're having that back spasm, you're having that sudden, you know, increase of that sympathetic stress within the body. First thing, touch it. Know that it's safe, whether it's laying on your back up against a wall, like Dom said, and then do your slow exhales. Go into that breathing that we teach within the breath PT Pearl that we did. Really, it's going to be so incredibly supportive for pain and that initial reaction. And then go in and explore. And is it core? Is it how my core is working all as one? Or is it some mobility restrictions that I'm having around the area? And then we can say, okay, now how am I progressively strengthening the entire body? Not just the back, right? But the entire body. And how am I building up strength in order for my body to be able to support it?
Yeah. And there might be some people out there saying, well, you know, I do get these massages, or I do get these things, and they make me feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. We're not saying that you should never, ever have soft tissue work. You should never have a massage. You should never use. That's not what we're trying to say. We're just saying that those things can do similar things for a lot of people to help downregulate that system, to help put that nervous system in a little bit of a different place. It's not a long-term fix. If you've noticed, if you do those things and then go without it for another month, then you say, oh, I'm kind of falling back to where I was before because we haven't changed anything else. So that's where our message in this PT Pearl is that you have the ability to get that down regulation on your own. And then you also have the ability to explore, find the underlying reasons that happened in the first place and address those.
Yes. Oh my God. I just got to touch on that because you brought it up and I love that you brought it up of the tools that other people use on us. And if we think about it, right, massage, Theragun, even manipulations or adjustments, dry needling, cupping, hot packs, all of these things that are done on us, the one common thing of all of that is that you're passive. You're not moving at all. Mm-hmm. It's what something is happening to you. But it's the same thing as like when we talk about touch and that initial response that we get into the brain is that down regulation and that like, oh, you're safe, you're good. We have what are called mechanoreceptors underneath the skin. They respond to touch, vibration, pressure, and heat. So if you think of what all of these other things are doing for us, again, not bad. We're not against any of them. Or we're not saying tools are bad. But what we're saying is all of these are helping to talk to the brain to create that down stimulation. And again, if you use our breath techniques that we talk about in that PT Pearl and you do it yourself, then you don't necessarily need to rely on someone else to create that down regulation for yourself.
So if you're someone out there who has your own journey that has to do with back pain or that has to do with these things, start making it an active process in your life and start taking some control and ownership over that yourself so that you can achieve that long-term change and become independent in your journey. All right. And next up for our interview, we are so excited to have Dr. Ayanna Proctor. She's a doctor of physical therapy, just like Jen and I, and actually a pretty good friend.
And she goes by Yanni Style. So she started on Instagram as Fit Doctor. She's now Yanni Style, which I think fits her so well. She's got shirts. She's got mugs, really cool things like sweaters, even like that are not just Yanni Style. Like it's literally you feel like a beast wearing them or drinking from her cups. They're really cool designs. So if you want to check any of that out, that's at YanniStyle.com. But she also posts incredible things on Instagram in terms of fitness and what you can actually do with your body. So I'm excited to dive into the podcast so that we can dissect that a bit more and really dive into how a doctor of physical therapy is really showing the fitness side of what's possible within your body. All right, we're going to need some strong coffee after that PT Pearl. But first of all, what is strong coffee?
So strong coffee is like this coffee latte mix that's so good, but also within that latte mix you get collagen, MCT oil, and it's literally like some of the most high quality stuff you'll find. It's grass-fed collagen, and it also has alanine and neurotropics, which help just stimulate and focus in that brain in the morning and give you that kick. So that's why I love using this, because it just fuels me and gets me energized in the mornings. But why do you like it?
I mean, honestly, it's just yummy. I don't need to add anything to it. It tastes so delicious. And we actually were able to get a code for you guys. Adam's one of my good friends too. And I love what he's doing. I love his transparency with the brand and it's good. So go to the show notes, use the link, and we have a special offer for you. Use code OPTIMAL15 at checkout and try it out for yourself. And welcoming to the podcast, one of my good friends, Yanni, and I'm so excited to have another incredible doctor of physical therapy here. And mostly because, you know, what you do is so different than I think what people usually see, especially on social media. It's not just, you know, oh, here's how to fix a pain, but it's actually like, here's how to be strong within your body. And you just show it based on what you do for your own body. And I think that's really commendable. So thanks for being here, Yanni.
Beast mode.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. First of all, where can people find you, just so that, you know, if they want to look you up and see what I'm talking about right now as we dive into everything, where can they find you?
Currently, you can find me on Instagram. I'm on there as Yanni Style. And that's pretty much the main place.
Yeah. And we'll talk about like some of the other things you do at the end and what people can grab to be part of Yanni Style. But really just kind of diving right into it. You know, I think one of the main things that I think would be cool for people to hear is really that, again, you're not just out there trying to educate on the body. And one of, even though you've been a PT now for how long?
8 years.
Eight years. And even though, you know, that's obviously your passion, what you like to do, and you've helped so many people over the years, but really you've kind of shifted toward training. Can you talk about that journey a little bit of like what made you shift from working in like a clinic to like, you know what, I don't want to just talk about pain. I want to actually get someone strong in their body.
Well, I'll just like to give your listeners a little background on me. Cause you just said I graduated in 2012. So this is my eighth year out of school, and I started out in outpatient. I did that for 2 years and then I began traveling. And that's kind of when I got a little bit of a sample of every clinic for these 3 to 6 month contracts. So I was working in acute care, acute rehab, independent living, assisted living, skilled nursing, all the different settings. And while doing that, I've always felt like I wanted to follow people through their entire journey. And in my mind, an ideal physical therapy and patient interaction would be like, yes, I got you out of pain, but now let's play. Let's get stronger. Let's build a strong foundation. Now that you're no longer hurting and you're no longer like the house is no longer on fire. You know, we put out the fire. Let's play. And now that I'm in California and I've been out here treating for a while, I said, I would love to add on to the end of their therapy and provide a service beyond just rehab and focus more on like just strength training or whatever their needs are. But that's kind of how I merge more into a training style, but it's still therapy because I can't take those goggles off. I can't take my therapy hat off.
That's the truth.
I just know now it's no longer get this person out of like a catastrophic situation. Now we're learning different things and different ways to move their bodies.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think that's something that a lot of PTs are starting to realize, that it's not just this journey back from rehab or injury or surgery. So I really appreciate that approach of yours. And I also appreciate your background. You started in the orthopedic clinic, like you said, but then did a lot of traveling. And it's amazing all the different settings you worked in. And I think it's really cool to see people in all those different settings, because there's something slightly different between all of them, you know, inpatient versus skilled nursing versus in-home, kind of like outpatient or actual home care. And throughout that journey, I want you to talk a little bit about, because some people will say like, oh, well, I'm old, I can't lift anymore, or I can't get back to deadlifting. What do you kind of say to people that are in that mindset that, oh, you know, I'm getting too old to lift weights?
Well, I do work with an older population. I have a full range. I guess you can say I'm a jack of, or Jane of all trades, master of none. Like, I do work with a lot of different people, whether it be neuro or ortho or just general strengthening or general weakness. So I do get the geriatric population as well. And that has come across. There's a lot of them who never actually worked out in the gym before, or never did any barbells or dumbbells or anything like that. So what I've seen to work mostly is, if they one have an interest in it, it's kind of easier to get them down that path. If they have an interest, like, you know, I would have liked to lift weights at one point in time, but I never did. That's kind of an easier end to get them to at least try it, and then educate them on, oh, look, you can build strength even in this, at this age. But a lot of times people are just afraid, or whatever, they have their preconceived ideas about it. And that's a little bit of a tougher crowd I've experienced with wits. So what I've also noticed is just meeting them where they are, building rapport and building trust with them, and then slowly introducing these things that they thought they never could do. But what like what's been most successful for me is getting them wins in the areas that they want to get better at or get stronger at or perform well at. Once we get better in that area, they build up their confidence. They build up their trust in you to introduce them to some new things that may have once been intimidating or scary.
Yeah, no, that's great. And especially like you said, when there is that opening. So say someone's out there listening and they're like, I do want to start lifting some weights. And I have wanted to do that in the past, but I just don't know where to start. In lieu of going to an actual provider or something, would you have any recommendations to be like, hey, these are some good things to start to explore if you want to get into some strength training?
Well, I mean, you think about it, that's the name of our game. We are experts at what we do. We are trained at what we do. We're professionals at what we do. So I would know for a fact, just from my point of view, I wouldn't encourage someone who's a novice with weight training to explore it on their own initially, especially if they've had reservations. But if they do have a background in it, I would just tell them to gradually work themselves into a strengthening program, starting out as few variables as possible. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't encourage anyone to go try to learn a snatch. You know, yeah. They've never lifted weights before. But if you're going to get into weight training, there's always resources online. There's books, there's YouTube, there's things like that. If you're just wanting to educate yourself on what it is. But if you find yourself in a position where you don't feel like you know what to do or how to progress yourself or how to regress yourself, then that I would encourage someone to just seek a professional. It doesn't have to be some lifelong relationship you have with that individual, but just somebody to give you some education just to get yourself started. Safely.
Yes, 100%. And I think as much as there are still free resources out there, it's mm-hmm. so different when you work with someone in person. And I know, obviously, we all know that because as physical therapists, we work with people in person and really like we're on them, you know, we're watching everything, we're guiding everything. And that's what's so valuable between just finding resources and hopefully figuring it out rather than mm-hmm. going to someone skilled who can really take you through a proper progression for your body. And I love that you as a therapist as well are showing that, listen, you can come to a therapist and still get strong within your body. It's like, yes, we're going to, you know, kind of change different patterns that you might have in your body, or we'll get you out of different pains, or we know how to safely modify around different pains. But at the same time, you're going to still get strong and follow this journey. It doesn't have to be like, you know, a separate thing. And I think you're bridging the gap between that so well. And I love watching like your stories with your clients and stuff. Obviously not right now. There's no right. clients, but when you do show your stories of your clients and you take them through such different kind of workouts, you know, it's not just straight weightlifting as someone might think. You do a lot of rotational things. You like mix it up. Can you kind of speak to a little bit of the style in which you like to get people moving?
Well, it's less of my style and more of their needs. Mm. And so I try to use the tools that I have to let them meet their needs. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, we as a general society kind of come with some similar limitations in our movement, whether it be not so much strength, you know, always. That's sometimes people are really strong but have poor coordination or motor control or just motor patterns, like firing, their gears are not firing at the right time, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So sometimes just that professional eye being able to assess and determine what it is that you're lacking to make you just the individual that you want to be, that's where I feel like I insert myself well. I teach them things that they may have never explored on their own before. And my approach is not very, very gentle, and depending on the client. But a lot of times I'm seeing these people who are pretty active and mobile, and they just don't, they're just missing this. Isn't it? You know how it is, like when they say, like you don't know you have tissue on your shoe, you're walking, you don't know, because it's behind you type of thing. You don't see it. You're not looking at it from a 360 point of view. And that's what I bring. They may be doing, they may have a trainer already. They may take Pilates or yoga. They do these things, but they don't have my set of eyes or my set of skills that views them from a 360 viewpoint, and then able to insert things that they just haven't thought to use. So that's kind of my approach with them, depending on the individual. Everyone's different though.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And I love how you say, and I don't always have the most gentle approach. Yeah. Like, I think that's what you said. And, you know, personally, when I was working in different settings where I worked with a lot of, you know, an older population, I was the first one who'd want to get them deadlifting or picking something up off the ground. Again, the variation might be slightly different for every person. But when you say that, I don't always have the most gentle approach. Some people who go into that after a few days of training might be like, oh my gosh, my body is just in so much pain and soreness. What do you say to kind of prep people for what their body's going to feel when you start to load some things up?
I try not to prep them because that's just like overstimulating them mentally. So I try not to really prep them at all with that. I do, however, explain and let them understand, try to differentiate between pain and soreness. So that's kind of an educational point there when they come back the next day or, you know, 48 hours later and saying, oh man, the back of my legs are really, really good. You know, they hurt so much, you know, and then I teach them about differentiating between pain and a need for modification and activity or soreness, muscle soreness. And they're like, hey, you know, once you exceed a certain threshold that the tissues are comfortable with, you may get soreness and it goes away. And I, you know, again, just that educational point, ensuring that you're okay, that this is safe, that this is normal, a normal response to exerting the way you have. And that usually calms people's fears and their worries.
Yeah, I do feel like that in this world of comfort we live in, when we do feel pain or soreness, some people just aren't expecting it. So it can be a little bit surprising for some people.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you really make that distinction? So if someone's listening and they're like, well, sometimes I do a workout and I don't know whether it's a good pain or a bad pain. How do you kind of, is there a way that you kind of guide people into what they're listening for or what they're like, what the difference is that you can feel?
Yeah, well, I mean, sometimes too, you know what I mean? Like a sharp pain versus a dull pain. I just try to get them to describe it as best that they can. And the more description and the more, whether, you know, what provokes it, is it when you move or is it when you're at rest? Or is it when you do this, go into this position versus this position? You know, like, and depending on their feedback to me and my questions, we'll kind of pinpoint, okay, this is just muscle soreness because you've never deadlifted before, or this is, you may have done something. Is it unilateral? Is it ipsilateral? Is, you know, is it a contralateral? Like, I just go through that whole list of questions to just pinpoint the difference between a muscle soreness, which is to some people is painful, but what, you know what we're saying, coming from a medical standpoint, like, have you done damage that is irreversible or potentially going to set you out for a few weeks? Or is this something that's going to resolve with an Epsom salt bath and, you know, ice? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's why, again, going back to working with someone in person can be so pertinent, because they can guide you into like, oh no, that sounds like it's more, you know, soreness rather than actual injury. Like, I even remember myself, I never really lifted heavy. I mean, I was a gymnast growing up, so we lifted our own body weight. You know, I didn't do deadlifts and all these things. And once I started deadlifting, I think it wasn't even until like grad school, I want to say, that I actually started deadlifting. And once I started, I remember the next day I was like, oh my God, my back, like I did something wrong. And obviously, yeah, you can go back and say, oh, I wasn't using my hamstrings enough. I wasn't using my glutes. But at the same time as well, when we deadlift, our back is going to be turned on. And if it's a new stimulus that your body isn't used to, it's scary. And so, you know, it's having that understanding of like, okay, have a professional that can kind of help you and guide you when you're new at these kinds of things so they can talk you through it. And then wait a couple days. I think we don't give our bodies the opportunity to like pass through that initial level of soreness either. Sometimes we just get so freaked out.
100%. Yeah. And I think, like you said, you got some people who, if based on your example, they've been gymnasts their whole life. You know what I mean? So they don't even know what sore muscles feel like, and they will interpret that as pain. So just being able to properly navigate them through that, and to ensure them that, you know, you didn't hurt anything, you didn't break anything. You're just your body's feeling a new stimulus because of something that you gave it that was different.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, talking about this whole journey of pain or soreness, mm-hmm. and I know that you train a lot and have done some high level stuff and competition and were an athlete. And in your past, you've had some different injuries that have mm-hmm. kind of like come on and off or like have bothered you here and there. Can you talk a little bit about those and how you personally approached what was going on?
Yes, I can. And I've been playing sports since I don't think I even knew how to spell my name good since, you know, before I started. I've been playing since I was really, really, really small. And so I've dealt with a lot of injuries. Unfortunately for me, I've never had surgery. Fortunately for me, I've never had surgery or never had to do any real extensive rehab. But I did have a back injury, and this was all from not even playing competitive sports, because I played in college and all throughout high school, and never had real serious like injuries until I was in the gym just lifting weights. I did some kettlebell swings, and the next day I could hardly stand up straight. And that was kind of the journey, or I guess the straw that broke the camel's back. I broke Yanni's back way back when. I forget, that was a few years back now. But yeah, I injured my back. I had been treating clients at this point maybe for 4 or 5 years. So I've seen a lot of patients with back injury, but I never quite had the perspective of what it felt like or what they were really truly experiencing until I had it. And I'm not saying that we all need to, you know, stick our toe in fire to know that it's hot. You know what I mean? But I did have a new appreciation and a new approach, a new way to approach my clients that had come in with back injuries, because I was currently dealing with one. But hurt my back, never went to like a physician to get it examined or anything. I just knew I was having difficulty doing normal things like bending over, tying my shoe, or getting dressed and sitting or standing. I took a short flight from Arizona to Las Vegas. That was a 45-minute flight. You spent more time getting on the plane than you actually did on the plane. The flight was so short. But I was so uncomfortable. 45 minutes just sitting in my chair, I was so uncomfortable. So little things like that that you don't even realize are provoking, they were amplified for me. My back was hurting. So I sought out a couple physical therapists. Actually, I went to 3 different ones. It was one guy in Arizona. His name's Connor. He really, really was what I was just describing to you guys earlier on about. He was the guy that helped me navigate. He was the lighthouse, you know, when I was in the dark and feeling very vulnerable and not sure how this was going to end. Like, do I need surgery? You know, everyone kind of does that. They question themselves because you just don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, kind of like how you were saying, Jen, you know, you're feeling really sore and this is the first time you've done deadlifts and you were sore. You're like, did I hurt something? What did I do? You go through that panic in your mind. And I did the same thing, because it was about 6 weeks of me not feeling 100%. And I was just very worried and not sure what the next step was for me. And I went to this gentleman. He treated me in his living room. I remember he had his little baby, you know, in the background, you know, throwing toys in the living room and stuff. But he treated me in his living room. He did quite a few different things. And what it really was he calmed my nervous system, I think, to put it in a short condensed package.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did some breathing drills. He did some stretching. He did some manual. He did some positional things for me, putting me in positions that I was afraid to go in to, thinking I would hurt myself, and teaching me that those things were safe for me. And I left there like 95% better.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's one injury. Because again, any athlete, you probably have dealt with multiple injuries, but that was one that sticks out for me, the back injury. And since then, that was about 2016, maybe.
But how long was that back pain lasting for? Especially even before you saw him, how long had you already had it?
6 weeks, about 6 weeks. And I had been seeing other therapists. I've been getting better, but I wasn't 100% clear. Like, I couldn't go back to the gym. If I did, I would feel really, you know, like I re-injured myself the next day after trying to do something light in the gym. So I wasn't out of the woods yet. But yeah, he was very helpful in bridging the gap between where I was and where I was trying to be. And he just gave me permission mentally gave me that comfort in knowing that I can get into these positions and my back wasn't going to, you know, break. And so I really appreciate him. But since then, that was 2016, we're in 2020 now, I've had flare ups, and like most people, you know, who've had previous injuries kind of know when they're edging on, you know, re-injuring themselves. So I've had flare ups. And matter of fact, I had one with you when I tried to do a pistol squat. You remember that, Jen?
I do. I laughed. It was not nice.
I tried to do a pistol squat. I went down, and you know, that's like massive, massive like flexion of the spine, and my back just like gave out and I fell to the ground. Jen thought it was hilarious. I didn't find it funny at all.
I didn't know I didn't know your experience of back pain for everyone out there. Okay. I thought Yanni's really funny also to be around. And so sometimes I'm like, oh, she's cracking a joke. Look at her on the floor. No, that was not a joke.
Writhing in pain, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was on the ground. Jen was cracking up. It wasn't funny. But yeah, so I've had like other issues with my back, but I think this is a good point to make. I think that going beyond that threshold that your tissues can handle and injuring yourself there's a valuable lesson in that. There's a valuable lesson in that experience, because you know the limit. You know what that limit is. And with proper education and navigating this recovery process, that old threshold that you exceeded and found yourself in an injured state could either become your ceiling, or it can become the floor, and you can go beyond that and rehab and become more robust, more resilient, you know, a stronger individual. But it just depends on how you handle injury. Because I have clients, like we were talking earlier, I have some elderly clients who are like, oh no, I hurt my back. And I'm like, when did you hurt your back? And they're like, oh, in 78. I'm like, wait, what? And they're like, I can't do that because I hurt my back. I can't do this because I hurt my back. And they have been held captive since that initial injury, and they have not explored going beyond that since. But in the right hands, with the right people, you know, the right professional to help you navigate, that threshold can become the floor, and you can go beyond that with proper rehab.
Yes, that's a great, great point. And I also just wanted to like pointed out real quick that you saw more than one person, even as a PT yourself.
Yeah, you're a PT.
And you saw more than one person. And I think giving permission to people that, like, it's not that someone is bad, right? It's not that you see a bad clinician. It's just that someone didn't work for you. And that's okay. We all see things with a different lens. Like, you give me, Dom, and Yanni a patient, we're all probably going to do something different.
Right.
You know, we see things differently. So it's not a bad thing to go to someone who you feel like, you know what, this isn't quite working for me. It's okay to go see another physical therapist. It doesn't mean anything wrong about the last therapist. It just means it's not working for your journey. And going to see someone else is okay.
Yeah, 100%. I guess if you count me, it would be four, because I did my own, you know, my own thing initially. And then I was like, okay. So what I really think with the whole approach, I saw the total of four people, including myself. Every one of us, it was more like baseball. Like, the first person they got me to first base. The second person got me to second base. And the third person did get me to third base. And when I went to that final guy, he kind of just brought it home for me. So I do think every single person was instrumental in getting me closer and closer to where I was trying to be. But they didn't knock it out of the park on the first try. And so it was definitely a collective approach. And I just didn't give up on it. I didn't say, okay, I just have back pain and this is my new life and I can't work out anymore. You know, I didn't go into that. I just kept trying to find someone that could get me closer and closer to where I was trying to be, because I missed the gym. At 6 weeks not working out, I was like, okay, enough of this. You know what I mean? So yeah, I would just say keep trying. If you're not, it wasn't that I was dissatisfied. It's just that those people brought me as far as they could. And then I just kept looking for more answers.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I'll hear that a lot where people say, oh, I tried physical therapy, that didn't work.
Right.
I feel like that's like one of the most common things. Oh, no, I've done physical therapy like two or three times throughout my life and
so
it
common.
Hasn't worked. And that's where I'll, you know, and it's kind of a joke that I'll bring up sometimes. I'm like, if you go to someone and get your hair cut and you don't like it, do you just never go to a salon or a hairstylist again? Like, no, I tried hairstyling. That didn't work. I'm just going to leave it be. No, we need to seek out the person we resonate with. So that's just like my little way of saying, like, you just got to do a little searching until you find that right fit. After you went through that whole journey, so now the back pain's gone, right? Never happens again. Or does it recur? And when it does, what are the things that you go to help that out for yourself?
Yeah, no, 100%. I just wanted to comment on what you said regarding never getting your hair cut again. I've had that too. I've had patients say that as well. Oh, I tried physical therapy. It doesn't work. I'm like, you throw away the whole profession from one experience.
Yeah.
You know? Like the whole profession goes down the drain because you had one therapist that you didn't like, you know. But no, 100%. I that's what I was saying. I've had issues since 2016, little areas where I felt like, it doesn't feel so good today. The back doesn't feel so great today. The one experience with Jen, tried to do a pistol squat and collapse on the floor, you know, things like that. But what I've done has been, and what I feel like the injury has taught me is how to listen to my body. Mm. And here's why, because I think that's very important, because when sometimes you don't even realize that you're edging towards injury. You don't realize that. Sometimes some things just happen, right? You know, accidents happen, injuries happen. That's that. You can't really prevent them no matter how good of a your mom could have been a physical therapist and taught you everything she knew and you still can injure yourself. It doesn't matter. But what I'm saying is that sometimes the body is speaking to us and we don't even hear it. Like we don't even know. We don't speak that language yet. And sometimes it takes injury to even understand that your body is telling you that this is beyond you. You shouldn't go anymore. And so I feel like this injury has taught me to be more in tune with my body. So that's one of the best things that I can say for people is learning their body. It doesn't have to be through injury, but learning to listen to the way you're feeling, the way you respond to certain activities. You know, some people think, oh, I'm just going to do yoga because I've had back pain. I'm just going to do yoga. Sometimes yoga is not the answer. You need to listen. When you do yoga, do you feel better? Or do you just do it because you think you're going to feel better? Mm. That type of thing. You know what I mean? Mm.
Oh, Yanni, so good. So good. I really commend you, first of all, for being able to be a physical therapist and say, hey, listen, pain happens to me too. Mm-hmm. And be able to talk through your journey and even come to the point where it's like, I want to be able to take people beyond just let's get out of pain and let's actually train. Let's be strong. Let's feel great within our body. And you're really helping people get back to that and learn how to listen. That's always my whole message. So, you know, thank you for being another advocate out there who's helping people to do that.
100%. Thank you for having me, you two.
Of course. Now, where can people, again, if they want to go beast mode, they want to be a beast, maybe they want to sip out a really cool mug, where could they get some of your stuff and find you and just work with you, whether it's virtually or in person?
Well, I guess we can go caveman style and you can email me at YanniStyle@gmail.com. That's Yanni, YONNIE, Style, STYLE, @gmail.com. I'm also on Instagram at YanniStyle. Those are the two mediums that I use mostly. And from there, you can kind of navigate to my apparel store or you can schedule an appointment, things like that. But I love to say I treat and train dope humans. Everyone is. Everyone's a mover. They just don't know it. You know, sometimes they just don't know it yet. But I work for everybody from all ages, not so much pediatrics, but I work with all types of people and all type of conditions. So yeah, just reach out. And if you have questions, I'd love to answer and love to see if I could help.
That's amazing, Yanni. Thank you so much for being with us today and giving people some tips on how to be an untamable beast. And we will be seeing you around.
Cool. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Yanni.
Thank you so much for listening to us on the Optimal Body Podcast, where we're going to continue to bring you the PT pearls and guests that will help you find your optimal body. Now, head over to wherever you listen to this and leave us an honest review, and head to docgenfit.com/podcast, where you can find all the show notes.
Don't forget that we're going to give away a free month to someone who subscribes, leaves us an awesome review, and lets us know what they want to review on the next PT Pearl. So we'll be choosing that once a week to get into a free month of the Optimal Body membership.